بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. وأنعم علينا يا عظيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters in Islam, after the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almighty and glory, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send all his blessings and mercy on this beautiful gathering. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to open our minds and hearts to what we hear about those great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us act and imitate those great followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. That are those men who the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam chose for himself to be his companions. That are those men who Allah Azza wa Jal had described in the Quran al-Kareem, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased from them and they are pleased from him. That are those men who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever loves them for their love, he loves me. And whoever hates them for his hatred, he hates me. Loving the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hating the companions or any companion of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is hating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And we were speaking about the 10 companions who the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam guaranteed paradise in this world. And we spoke about 8 of them. We spoke about the first man in Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And we spoke about Umar ibn al-Khattab. And we spoke about Uthman bin Affan. And we spoke about Ali. And then we spoke about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And then we spoke about Abdul Rahman bin Auf. And we spoke about Talha. And then we spoke about Zubair. And for tonight, inshallah, we should speak about the last two great companions of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam guaranteed paradise. And what a beautiful thing and great thing for a man or a woman or a Muslim for them to be guaranteed paradise in this world. How beautiful it is for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tell you in this world, while you are breathing from the air of this world and drinking the water of this world and eating from the food of this world and walking on the land of this world, for the Prophet to come up to you and say, Allah had guaranteed you paradise. Well, that are those men, and Allah Azza wa Jal guaranteed them paradise, not because their name is Umar or Abu Bakr, or their name is Uthman or Sa'd, or their name is Abdul Rahman or Zubayr. Allah guaranteed them paradise is because of the qualities and those great qualities they had in them, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Because of their great qualities, because of their iman, because of their taqwa, because of their love to Allah, and because of their love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and doesn't stop over there. But because of their sacrifice, because of their sacrifice to this love, because of their sacrifice to the love of Allah, because of their sacrifice to the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all say we love Allah. We all say we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he then, do we sacrifice anything for that love? Do we strive anything for that love? Do we show anything of that love? Or we just say we love Allah, we love the Prophet, and then our actions are totally disobeying Allah and His Prophet? Well, those companions were not guaranteed paradise because of their love of Allah and His Prophet, but that only they were guaranteed paradise because they strived and sacrificed their life and every single moment in their life for the love of Allah and His Prophet. And that's what made them to be guaranteed the paradise. And let's hear me tonight with another great companion who many of us don't know about and many of us had not heard of. He is one of those companions who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned his name and named his name as one of those 10 to enter the paradise guaranteed. It's that companion, Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd. A lot of us been in a religion for so long, sitting down right now thinking, I've never heard of that name before. Well, now you've heard it. It's Sa'id ibn Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Amr bin Nufail al-Adawi al-Qurashi. Sa'id ibn Zayd, the brother-in-law of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was married to Fatima bint al-Khattab, the sister of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that Sa'id ibn Zayd, and he was one of the six who became Muslims on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. We've mentioned before that Abu Bakr became Muslim, and after 3 days he came back with six great men, pillars of Islam in the history of Islam, and one of them is Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd, a great companion, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned his name as one of those who had guaranteed paradise. There's not much to be spoken about Sa'id ibn Zayd. He was a very, very humble and quiet man. He was only to say, Sami'na wa ata'na to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We listen and obey. He's not a man that was chasing after any temptations or love of this dunya. He was a man that sold his life for the sake of Allah. He faced a lot of hardships due to him to be from the first people that entered Islam. And because he was a close relative of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And people faced a lot of hardship from Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab was one of the first enemies of Islam. One of the first people that fought and struggled against Allah and His Prophet. Until Allah Azza wa Jal softened his heart and he became a Muslim. People had no hopes in Umar al-Khattab to ever become a Muslim. That when one of the companions were migrating to the Habasha, Umar ibn al-Khattab saw one of the wives of the companions. She was migrating with her husband to the Habasha. He asked her, where are you going? She said, we are leaving this city. So he said, why are you leaving this city, Umar al-Khattab? That's before he became a Muslim. She said, we're leaving the city because of the hardships and the persecution that you and your example are making us face. So Umar al-Khattab looked like he became lenient. And he said, then I wish that you arrive safely. So she was surprised, this companion. She went back to her husband and she said, by Allah, I just saw Umar al-Khattab soften up. So her husband said, what? Umar al-Khattab to soften up, by Allah, his donkey will become Muslim before he becomes a Muslim. His donkey will become a Muslim before he becomes a Muslim. But subhanallah, Allah wanted Umar ibn al-Khattab to become a Muslim on the hands of Sa'id ibn Zayd, his brother-in-law. And we've heard the story how Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was attempting to go and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Umar used to be a very feared man. Because of his braveness, his seriousness, his haybah, and his strength. And one of the companions saw Umar ibn Khattab walking with his sword around his waist. So he told him, where are you going to? He said, I'm going to kill Muhammad and finish off Muhammad and finish off this fitna that Muhammad has been causing among us in Mecca. So this companion, he was close to Umar. Umar didn't know that he was a Muslim. So he was afraid on the Prophet ﷺ because he knows if Umar attempts to do so, he'll do so. So he wanted to take Umar away from going to the Prophet ﷺ at that time so he could go and warn the Prophet ﷺ what Umar is attempting to do. So he told him, why are you going to Prophet Muhammad? Why are you Muhammad for? Then go to your own sister and your own brother-in-law. Your own sister Fatima and your own brother-in-law Sa'id became Muslims. Start with them before you start with Muhammad. So he was very, very upset to find out that his brother-in-law and his own sister became Muslims. So he turned his face and went He went to his sister's house, to his brother-in-law, Sa'id ibn Zayd. At that time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to teach Sa'id and Fatima about the new revelation of the Quran al-Kareem, Taha. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to send the teachers secretly to tell and teach the companions about the new revelation and orders of Allah. And Umar ibn Khattab came at that time when Khabbab is reciting the new revelation of the Quran al-Kareem to Sa'id ibn Zayd and the sister of Umar ibn Khattab, Fatima. So Umar ibn Khattab will walk into the house and Khabbab will run and hide in the room, in one of the rooms. And then he'll ask his sister, is it true he became a Muslim? So she says, yes, we became Muslims. So he slaps his sister and she falls bleeding. And then he grabs his brother-in-law Sa'id and starts to hit Sa'id. What's Sa'id gonna do in front of a massive man like Umar? And when Umar saw that face of his sister bleeding, he sympathized and softened to her. So he stopped and he sat down. And the new revelation of the Quran al-Kareem, a piece of paper written on it, the new verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he came to grab it. So his sister said, no, but Allah, you're not allowed to touch it unless you have purification. So he said, what do I do? She told him, go and have a shower. He went and had a shower and came back. And he started to read the new revelation of the Quran al-Kareem. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan man yakhsha tanzeelan mimman khalaqa al-arda was-samawati al-ula ar-rahmanu 'ala al-'arsh istawa lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta al-thara. So he read these verses. And Umar was one of the rare people at that time that used to know how to read and write. So when he read those verses, he said, by Allah, someone says words like that should be worshipped alone. Guide me to Muhammad. I want to become a Muslim. And he was taken to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Khabbab. And Khabbab says, by Allah, Umar, I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam making dua a few days ago saying, oh Allah, strengthen Islam with Umar ibn Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham, which is Abu Jahl. And Allah Azza wa Jalla did accept the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which Allah wanted to strengthen Islam through Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And there, Umar was taken to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw Umar, he grabbed him, and he pushed him, and he told him, oh Umar, oh the son of Khattab, hasn't that time came for you to return back to Allah before Allah sends a destroyer on you? So Umar ibn Khattab went on his knees and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I came to become a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that you are the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. That's Umar and that's Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd, his father, his name is Amr ibn Nufail. Zayd bin Amr ibn Nufail. His father was one of the only Arabs at that time who isolated the worship of idols. He used his brains. He used his nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the nature and every human being that with this nature alone, you could decide and know what's right and what's wrong, what's false and what's true, what's worthy to be worshipped and what's not. And the father of Sa'id, Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail, was one of those men that sat down between himself and said, how could we prostrate on idol? And that's before the prophecy. That's before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he also led the worship of idols. It was only three men at that time of the Jahiliyyah that left the worship of idols. And he went to the Sham. Who? Zayd bin Amr, the father of Sa'id. He went to Sham to learn more about the Christians, maybe this is more to the right and true path. But he found saying things that does not combine with his nature by saying that Jesus is Son of God. So he left that. And he left everything and submitted and surrendered to Allah. And that's why one day Sa'id tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, my father Zayd bin Amr, you know what you know about him and you've heard what you've heard about him. Wouldn't you make dua for him and ask Allah to forgive him? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'll ask Allah to forgive him and your father will be resurrected by himself as one nation in the hereafter. Your father will be resurrected by himself as one nation in the hereafter. His father died before Islam, but he looked for the truth and used his brains, not his desires, and he found the truth that there's no one worthy of worship except one Allah, one God, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu in all of the battles. And Sa'id ibn Zayd participated basically in all the battles with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the battle of Badr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sa'id ibn Zayd and Talha to go and spy on the enemies and to bring the news to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also to be well known that a man that he's got acceptance in his dua. When he makes dua, Allah accepts his dua. And there's a story about Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu that once a woman, her name is Arwa bint Aws, she accused Sa'id bin Zayd by taking her land by force. So Sa'id ibn Zayd, he said, by Allah, if she is saying, Ya Allah, he made the dua, oh Allah, if she is saying the truth, oh Allah, if she is saying the false, oh Allah, destroy her, make her blind and make her die in her own house. She accused him of something. Who? Sa'id ibn Zayd, a man that the Prophet ﷺ guaranteed paradise. She accused him of stealing her land. Someone like Sa'id, an average person doesn't do that. Now someone like Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, is now being accused of stealing that land. So he said, oh Allah, if she's saying a lie, oh Allah, make her blind and destroy her own house. A few days later, she became blind and she fell in the well in her own house. Allah Azza wa Jal accepted his dua. As I said, there's not much been mentioned about Sa'id bin Zayd due to his humbleness and quietness. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great companion, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away in the Medina at the 51 Hijrah, and he was buried by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. That's Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. White Nissan Pulsar blocking cars downstairs. White Nissan Pulsar blocking cars downstairs. Now we go into the second companion from the companions who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had guaranteed paradise in this world. A great companion who was nicknamed, a name that no companion was ever nicknamed, that name, Amir al-Umara. Amir al-Umara, the leader of the leaders. Amir al-Umara, the Muslim leader of the leaders. So he was not enough to be a leader, but he was the leader of the leaders. And that's Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لكل أمة أمينا وأميننا أيتها الأمة أبو عبيدة عامر بن الجراح. For every nation, there is a secretary that keeps secrets and honest and trustworthiness. And the secretary and the trustworthiness of this nation is عامر ابن الجراح, أبو عبيدة عامر ابن الجراح. أمين هذه الأمة, أمين الله وأمين رسوله, the trustworthy and the honest, the secretary, the man that keeps secrets, it's أبو عبيدة عامر ابن الجراح. He was also one of those companions who رضي الله تعالى عنه became a Muslim from the early ages, and was one of those companions who to enter Islam from day one. Again, I repeat, the same white Pulsar. So the brother that owns that car, the white Pulsar, please remove your car. If you know your car. So please remove your car. Abu Ubaidah, Amir bin Abdullah ibn al-Jarrah al-Fahri. A companion that also became a Muslim on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That companion that fought and struggled in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he migrated to Habasha at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he came back to Mecca after he heard a rumor spreading around that the people of Mecca became Muslims. All of them became Muslims, including Abu Jahl. So he left Habasha, came to Mecca, and realized that there was just a rumor. But on the contrary, things became even worse on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the believers with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca. Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah, Amir al-Umara, the leader of all Muslim leaders. Aminu hadhihi al-Ummah, the secretary of this nation. The man that keeps secrets of this nation and the trustworthiness of this nation. A man sacrificed a sacrifice. They hardly hear that sacrifice like this man. Abu Ubaidah had his father, a non-believer against the Muslims and Islam. And in the battle of Badr, Abu Ubaidah's father was looking for Abu Ubaidah to kill him. And Abu Ubaidah would just run away. And his father would just look around for his son to kill him. And Abu Ubaidah would just run away until he saw the seriousness of his father to kill him. So he killed his father. And he felt so bad about it that he killed his own father. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran al-Kareem, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah revealed in Surah Al-Mujadala for the example of this man and that great men like this man, that you don't find anyone that believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment feeling any sympathy to anyone that fights against Allah and His Prophet, even if it was their parents, their fathers, or their brothers, or the children, or the own kinship. That are those ones who Allah had written the iman in their hearts. They'll sacrifice anything for Allah Azza wa Jal. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't know anything from this world. When it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, they're not attached to anything from this world. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah, the only thing in front of them is Allah and His Prophet. They're not attached to any attachments of this world. But these days we are so attached even to something that costs less than a dollar. Even if something is not even worth anything, that some of us will be sitting at home doing nothing. And it's a jama'ah prayer being called, so we'll put nothing over the jama'ah prayer. I don't want to go. Laziness. But men like Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when it comes to the orders of Allah and the orders of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only thing he could see or hear or understand is those orders. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. They don't find anyone that believes in Allah and a day of judgment. Sympathize or feeling sorry for anyone that fights against Allah and His Prophet, even if it was their fathers or their children, their kids, or their brothers, or their kinship. That are those ones who Allah had written the iman in their hearts. Abu Ubaidah, Amr ibn al-Jarrah, had great stands with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was described to be tall, skinny, with very, very light beard. And he had two broken tooth. He used to be known to be a man with two broken tooth from the teeth of his side. And that happened because of a sacrifice. His teeth didn't break because wallah he ate so much food. Wallah fell on his face. His tooth broke, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Uhud. And it broke for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam fell in the trap, Ibn Qam'af dug for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam fell in a trap. And the non-believers surrounded the Prophet ﷺ, throwing the Prophet ﷺ spears and arrows. And it was Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to run to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions the story that I saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam falling in a hole. And he had his helmet, and the ring of the helmet entered his cheeks from both sides. The ring of the helmet entered the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from both sides. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was badly injured and was feeling the heart pain. So Abu Bakr said, I came to rescue the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I saw someone flying like a bird, how it flies. It was Abu Ubaidah. He beamed into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that pain, with those rings of the helmet entering the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, by Allah, let me save the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this. So Abu Ubaidah grabbed those rings with his tooth and pulled it with full strength, that he took that ring out of the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with that ring took the tooth of Abu Ubaidah. And then he went to the other side. He went to the other side where the ring is in the other cheek of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his other sort of tooth, and grabbed it and pulled it out, and his tooth was pulled out with it. Then later on they used to call him the Athram. And Athram is the man that lost his teeth. And he lost them for what? For the sake of Allah. He lost them for what? For the sake of Allah and his prophet, Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah. Another example, another great stance of Amir ibn al-Jarrah, is in the battle of Al-Khabt, Ghazwat Al-Khabt, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah, with 300 companions to go and fight in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there wasn't much food to be given to them. There wasn't much supplies for them to be supplied with. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him a bag of dates. A bag of dates for Abu Ubaidah to divide that bag of dates on the companions day by day for them to eat. And what's a bag of dates to 300 people? Oh, wallahi, we'll eat it one day. But 300 of them, day after day, relying on those dates. So they were eating few dates a day until they start to live on one date a day. One date a day. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for the love of Allah and His Prophet. That's what we talk about. Loving Allah and His Prophet, just not by saying I love Allah and His Prophet, by action, by sacrifice, by struggling. They lived on one date a day. Until there was no more dates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted a miracle to happen to them, where Allah azza wa jal made a whale to come out of the ocean and come on the surface of the beach, and radiallahu ta'ala anhum start to eat from that whale, and wipe and rub themselves with the oil of that whale, and they became chubby when they came back home. They became chubby, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Another battle, that is Salasil, to show Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not a man that loves leadership, or after leadership, all he does cares about is Allah and his prophet. In the battle of that is Salasil, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a group of companions with the leadership of Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As used to be very well known to be a very smart companion and very aware and alert. They called him Dahiya min Duhat al-Arab. Very smart. A smart and genius. From the smart and genius people of the Arab. And inshallah we'll speak about Amr ibn al-As. He's that man that Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Amr ibn al-As la yahiqqu lahu an yamshi ala al-ardi illa amira. Amr ibn al-As has no rights to walk on earth except being a leader. He saw in that battle, that is Salasil, that he's been outnumbered by so much. So he sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send more troops. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam put a few companions together from the great companions, including Abu Bakr and Umar, and he made the leader of that troop, Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah. And when the Prophet ﷺ sent him, he told him, Abu Ubaidah, do not disagree with Amr ibn al-As. Do not fall into conflict. So when Abu Ubaidah arrived to Amr ibn al-As, Abu Ubaidah was supposed to be the Amir. So Amr ibn al-As did not accept that. He said, you came, so you become Amir, I'm the Amir, and you follow. So Abu Ubaidah did not have that love of Allah. No, why? I want to be, even if the Prophet ﷺ told him, he said, I do not argue. You are the Amir, you are the leader. خلاص, سمعنا وأطعنا. سمعنا وأطعنا. He did not have that love for leadership, or love for Imara. Their love was only for Allah's sake, and what pleased Allah. And another great stance of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is after the battle of Yarmouk. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a leader on one troop, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a leader on another troop. And he left the leadership in Khalid ibn Walid's hand. And in the battle of Yarmouk, at that time, who dies? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And who becomes the Khalifa? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Khalid ibn Walid was a man that does not enter any battle and loses. Impossible. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Very smart and experienced and God-fearing. He used to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and fights for Allah's sake. That later on, the words start to come out that Khalid ibn Walid opened this. And Khalid ibn Walid conquered this. And Khalid ibn Walid had victory over this. And Khalid ibn Walid did this. And Khalid ibn Walid did that. And people start to forget that it's not because of Khalid. It's because of the Lord of Khalid. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to show people that victory does not come through Khalid or anyone like Khalid or 1,000 people like Khalid, but victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sent a letter to Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah saying to him that once you meet with Khalid, you tell Khalid, you are no longer the leader and you are the leader. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu received that letter what? Halfway through the battle of Yarmouk. And then after the battle of Yarmouk, they went to the opening of Damascus. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not even speak to Khalid ibn Walid about this letter until Damascus was opened. Until Damascus was opened. And when it was opened, Abu Ubaidah shares the letter to Khalid and tells him, oh Khalid, as an order from the leader, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, and obeying the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or obeying the Amir of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is obeying the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he requests that from today, you are no longer the Amir. So Khalid ibn Walid did he say, why? Where's your explanation? Tell me, why didn't you tell me? Now Umar, you must have an explanation for me. Now I would not stay. He said, Sami'na wa ata'na. I was not fighting for Umar. I was fighting for the Lord of Umar. Oh, Abu Ubaidah, why didn't you say so when you received that letter? He was upset, Khalid ibn Walid, not because he was removed, but because the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mini wasn't implemented on the spot. And then he said, we're only brothers for the sake of Allah. We're all brothers for the sake of Allah. And we're all here for the sake of Allah. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Ubaidah, and Umar ibn Khattab said, there is no one has the right to be a leader over Abu Ubaidah. He is the leader. He's Amir al-Umara. And one of the incidents that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is when a group of people from Najiran, and Najiran was a city where the Christians did live at that time. They came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with three of their priests to debate with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Allah azza wa jalla revealed a lot of verses in Surah Al-Imran in regards of that debate. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to him. And then at the end, the Prophet alayhi salam said, let's do the mubahala. And the mubahala is what Allah said in the Quran al-Kareem. Oh Muhammad, tell them, we'll get ourselves and get yourselves and get our families and get your families. And we'll get our kids and you get your kids and we'll get our wives and you get your wives. And then we'll curse one another to see who's on the true, saying that may Allah curse you if you're on the false, or may Allah curse me if I'm on the false. And the Prophet ﷺ, the next day, he got Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein, and behind him walking Fatima. So those three priests, when they saw that scene, they said, by Allah, if this man ends up to be a prophet, then we'll be cursed to the day, they'll be cursed, our generation descendants will be cursed to the day of judgment. And they know As Allah said in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا عَرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him more than what they know the own kids. They know the Prophet ﷺ more than what they know the own kids. When they ask Abdullah ibn Salam, is it true? He used to be one Jewish leader. They asked him, is it true they used to know the Prophet ﷺ as you know your kids? He said, yes. This man, Allah mentioned him, where he came from. Allah mentioned him. We know about this man from the heavens, but my wife, I don't know where she got my kids from. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him better and more than what they know their own kids. So they refused. Then they said, okay, we'll pay you the jizya, but send us a man that you trust and is trustworthy, so he could come and collect it, and he's a judge among us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, tomorrow I'm going to send with you in the presence of the companions. He said, tomorrow I will be sending with you an ameen. Truly ameen. Truly ameen. Truly ameen. Yani, truly he's honest and trustworthy. Truly he's honest and trustworthy. Truly he's honest and trustworthy. So the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the next day, they all came thinking that the Prophet ﷺ would choose them. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, said, I've never felt jealous. I've never felt jealous or eager to become a leader only at that time. So the next day comes, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the companions and says, where is Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah? Where is Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah? This man is an ameen, and he is the ameen of this nation. Amir ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also says, I have a thing on every companion except Abu Ubaidah. Yani, I have an excuse. I have a thing. And I've got something. I've grabbed something on every companion except Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was a leader by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Damascus. He looked after Damascus in the time of Umar ibn Khattab. And he was a man that was beloved by the people of Damascus, that they used to mention his name and talk about him so much. Abu Ubaidah, Abu Ubaidah, Abu Ubaidah. That one day Abu Ubaidah stood up and said, oh people, there is no difference between me and a black and a white and a red except by the piety. Oh people, I'm a Muslim like you, how you are to me. We're all Muslim brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Umar ibn Khattab visited Damascus, he asked, where is Abu Ubaidah? So Abu Ubaidah comes and he hugs Umar ibn Khattab and takes him to his house. And he does not see anything inside the house of Abu Ubaidah except his sword and something to sit on. And then later on, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu will send a messenger to Abu Ubaidah with 400 dinar to give it to Abu Ubaidah to fix himself and fix his life. By the time he's received that 400 dinar, before the messenger left, that 400 dinar was divided to all the poor people in Damascus. And when the news came back, to Umar ibn Khattab, he said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'ala fil islami man yasna'u thalik. Thanks to Allah. Thanks to Allah that he made someone in Islam that he does such an action. Like Abu Ubaidah. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed in Damascus, and he died from a plague. It's called Ta'un Amwas. Ta'un Amwas. Amwas is the place that Abu Ubaidah was in. It was a plague that affected about 20,000 believers, and among them a lot of the companions. And from among those companions that was affected by that plague and died from that plague was Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah. When Umar heard about this, he sent a letter to Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah telling him, oh Abu Ubaidah, if you receive my letter, you leave Amwas and you leave that area on the spot. So he sent the letter back. He said, I would not leave believers that I fought with. I would not leave believers that I fought with, that I want to face what they face. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away from that plague, and he was buried in Jordan. Radiallahu ta'ala an Abu Ubaidah lived to the 18th of Hijrah at the age of 58. And with that, we finish from the 10 great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for us to start next week. Another great companion from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to speak about and to share his story with you, insha'Allah. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ajalna sababan liman ihtada. Ihdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka ya Rabbana qaribun mujibun lid da'awat. Unsur al Islam wal muslimin. Dammir al kafarata wal mulhidin. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذ وأخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب والأبصار صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك. وفقنا لما تحب وترضاه. استخدمنا لدينك وعراية نبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.